Welcome to Ed Show, episode 91. I'm Simon Perriman. I'm joined by David Tessar, and we're going to hit you up with the news to start with. So, David, what's our first new release this week?
We got some maps going on, right? For those of you who don't know, it's the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit, and it is a great utility for you, those of you out there who want to survey your environment. Say perhaps you may not have a management tool out there pulling all that information out. This is a great standalone tool to go out there. Uses basic WMI functionality to gather information about stuff on your network. The Map 9.0 tool has some enhancements there around detecting some 2013 technologies that are out there, just so that you can get the most accurate assessment inside your environment, let's say for licensing, or just to know what is out there, you know?
One of my favorite uses is to analyze physical servers that would be good candidates for virtualization. So you've got an underutilized SQL server, maybe you go virtualize that, save some resources. So a lot of kind of guided best practices with it.
Right. Also, you know, there's a portion there about migrating to Azure. So if you're thinking about moving stuff up to Azure VMs and infrastructure as a service, that would be a good way, and I foresee in the future there might be an Edge Show episode on that.
Ah, you're teasing us now.
There we go.
Well, next thing we want to announce here is a list of new free ebooks provided by Microsoft on the Microsoft Virtual Academy. So MVA, they've recently collaborated with Microsoft Press, and they've kind of centralized this collection of resources. So everything from Azure to storage, Windows 8 client, and different types of programming solutions. So a whole lot of awesome technology is available here.
One that somebody here contributed to.
It's a good one. Go get the System Center one. So we also have a Jumpstart that just came out on the MVA, right, David?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, there was an IaaS deep dive Jumpstart, and that really ties into kind of the core technologies that relate to VM. So VM, compute, storage, and your networking. So if you're new to all of that, it's a great way to immerse yourself and understand the technologies around Azure as it relates to VMs and infrastructure services.
Right. Well, back onto the System Center path. One of our communities, System Center, the community, they've recently had their big conference known as System Center Universe. So if you go to the website, you'll be able to go and view recent presentations, connect with different customers and partners. So there's a lot of great community resources and training available at System Center Universe. Final thing we wanted to announce was that several rolling updates have just been released for System Center as well. Now, we always encourage our customers to deploy the latest rolling updates because it's essentially a collection of updates across all these different components that are tested together. And that's one of the big keys whenever you see a large set of updates. Now, traditionally, when they release updates one at a time, they're kind of tested in isolation. But when we do these large roll-ups, all the updates are tested together, patched together, so you're more likely to have even better stability. So whether you're running System Center 2012 SP1, update roll-up 5 is out, and if you're running the newest System Center 2012 R2, update roll-up is out. So go to the bottom of the page, and we'll send links for that. Now, we're going to move over to our interview now. I got two people from engineering joining us, Bradley and Naganda. And we're going to be talking about the Windows Azure Pat, one of our new capabilities in System Center 2012 R2.
Just a little tip. It looks like Windows Azure, but it's not Windows
Azure. Oh, don't give away all our fun. Let's jump to the interview. And welcome back. We're here at the Edge Show, and we're going to be discussing the Windows Azure Pack, one of the newest enhancements added to System Center 2012 R2. But first, I'm going to introduce my two presenters who come from the System Center team and the Windows Azure team, and you're going to see how these technologies have really been put together to release this new technology. Bradley, why don't you introduce yourself
first? I'm Bradley Bartz. I'm a lead program manager with the Windows Azure Pack, and I'm in the Windows Azure org working on this technology in conjunction with Naganda and the entire Windows Server and System Center team to deliver this Cloud OS solution to the marketplace.
And Naganda?
Naganda Vidula, a group program manager in the System Center team, have been with Microsoft for about 16 years in various capacities in the Server and Tools division.
Thanks. Well, first question first. Bradley, what exactly is the Windows Azure Pack?
Great question. You know, the Windows Azure Pack is about our journey to creating this cloud OS consistent environment for our customers. Matter of fact, you can see on the screen and on the display right now, you'll see the overall map for a cloud OS vision. And it's about providing a consistent cloud platform for our application developers, IT, and infrastructure managers. Consistency means an application consistent. I can deploy applications consistently across these cloud boundaries. And it doesn't matter whether it's on the Microsoft-operated cloud environment that we have for public Azure, or whether that cloud environment's coming from a service provider in their data centers, or whether coming from your IT department in their data centers. We want to make sure that our customers can have a consistent cloud platform that they can rely on and have a consistent set of services available to them.
So what exactly does this user experience look like? If I'm familiar with Azure, I've logged on there, how exactly is the Windows Azure Pad going to look?
Let's do a quick tour. I'm going to go ahead and switch over right now. Let me go ahead and log in to Azure first. Now, many of you may or may not know, but Azure actually allows you to log in with corporate credentials. And this is actually using claims-based authentication, which is a requirement for the cloud. So in this case, I'm going to log in to Windows Azure using my Microsoft credentials. Now, other organizations can do the same thing. So I'm going to log in right now with my Redmond credentials. And now that I've provided my credentials, which have been authenticated by my IT identity provider, in this case, that was through ADFS and AD. So I'm logging in with my corporate credentials into Windows Azure. Okay, here we're logged into the Windows Azure portal. And as part of logging in, I'm going to get a collection of the list of services I have available. For example, websites. This is the new website PaaS, a vertical PaaS that we have in Azure for basically deploying modern web applications. And it includes a rich gallery of applications that can be deployed at Windows Azure, and you'll see that list of applications here in the gallery when it loads. In addition to provisioning modern web applications, I can also deploy VMs in Azure, and there's also a gallery experience for how I deploy VMs in Windows Azure from a gallery. Just as with websites, there's a collection of galleries that are there. So there is a management experience for me as a consumer of the cloud that I get from Windows Azure. Okay, now that we've just done a walkthrough of Windows Azure, let's go take a look at Windows Azure Pack running on System Center. I'm going to go ahead and log into a staging environment that we have. And when I log in, you'll notice the first thing that happens, I've been redirected. Just like I could log into Azure with my corporate credentials, I can also log into the Windows Azure Pack and System Center using my corporate credentials. So again, this is very important for enterprise scenarios, but also for service providers. It doesn't have to be AD. It could be a hosting provider's identity solution as well, whether it be regular email address or another STS management head. In this case, we're going to log in with my corporate credentials. I'm going to log in here. And when I log in, now it's getting validated and authenticated by our corporate IT department, and now I'm being redirected and logging into the Windows Azure Pack portal with my corporate credentials. And as that process completes, we'll see the portal come up. And here it comes. Just like in Windows Azure, it's going to load. Now here, a key point I want to drive, make sure everybody understands this. The Windows Azure Pack code base is actually the very same code base we build and ship in Windows Azure. This is that idea of having a cloud-first engineering approach. We're taking the same hardened technology that we built for Windows Azure, we're shipping as part of the Windows Azure Pack.
And I'm sure best practices that we've learned on the way as we've actually built Windows Azure itself, we're now delivering to our customers as these
Absolutely.
Best practices.
Absolutely. Now in this case, by the way, the Windows Azure Pack is a white label solution, so it can completely branded to the needs of the hosting service provider or the IT organization. In this case, we gave it just a steel gray theme so it would look different than Windows Azure. But just like I did in Windows Azure, I have access to that beautiful web vertical PaaS that we have. And just like I can in Azure, I can go ahead and deploy new websites from a gallery. And again, this is actually the same feed of web applications that Azure deploys is available through the Windows Azure Pack for deployment. And here I get the same gallery of applications I can deploy. Those applications can scale, integrate with TFS, and get just like they do in Azure. So it's a full, rich a web hosting environment. And again, just like Azure, the customer can go in and provision new VMs. And there is a gallery of VMs. And here that gallery will come up. Now the gallery here is curated by the IT or service provider can decide what gallery items they're going to deploy. So they have the opportunity to define the VMs and the applications that make sense for their customer.
Could I go and add a custom application into this or a custom
Absolutely.
VM?
That can absolutely be done. So, at any rate, here's what we mean by consistency, a grouping of services. And just like it could in Azure, there's also the service bus and SQL capabilities as well.
So, it really, you know, having just looked at Azure, taking a look at Windows Azure Pack, it's an identical user experience.
That's
and
exactly
that's ultimately
right.
what we get to. So, for our customers out there, if you're already familiar with Azure, kind of adopting this, getting used to it, deploying VM services and websites, no learning curve, right? That exact same
go.
Experience.
That's right.
Thanks, that's a really nice demo. You can really see the consistent experience across Azure, up in the cloud, and then these kind of Azure-like services on-premise. But my understanding is this requires System Center. What exactly, what components are actually running with System Center, and is it part of System Center 2012 R2?
Yeah, so System Center 2012 R2 has a whole suite of components in it, System Center, Virtual Machine Manager, Orchestrator, and so on. As a part of our R2 release, we have integrated with Windows Azure Pack and built in a set of services and scenarios that are targeted towards enterprises that want to behave as service providers, as well as service providers themselves. And this is built on top of the System Center stack, and this is on top of VMM, it's on top of the Service Provider Foundation framework that we have, and we built an IaaS provider that surfaces itself from an administrative standpoint, as well as from a self-service user standpoint into WAP.
Now, you guys come from the engineering team, and one of the recent big investments all the way across Microsoft is this consistency and this cloud-first engineering focus, engineering tenet. How did you guys kind of think of building for the cloud as you design this new technology?
That's a very, very good question. You know, as we look to the cloud OS network being this fidelity of services that exist across Microsoft's federation of clouds, be they the private cloud, the hosted cloud, as well as the public cloud, we've had to retool some of our engineering processes and practices so that, you know, we participate together and not as separate entities while we design this cloud OS network. Now, that is pervasive across the way we build our specs, the way we implement our products, the way we run our common engineering practices like our ship rooms from a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, and that we all stay aligned as we enforce this huge Microsoft collective bet on this cloud OS vision. So those are how we tool our internal processes in order to align our dates, align our processes, align the quality, and then participate as one.
You know, so I think there's I'd love to just build on that, because I think there's a key attribute that really ties into your question here, and it really is about this cloud-first approach we're taking. It's really about driving innovation and capabilities that are designed from the ground up to be targeted in the cloud environment, to achieve massive scale, to have multi-tenancy at its core. And as we innovate for the cloud, we have these engineering processes that drive that engineering and value proposition out to our entire ecosystem. And that's exactly what Nagender was referring to, is how do we take that cloud innovation and drive it through the rest of the stack and make it available to our customers.
Nice.
And that's a key principle in our engineering.
And I see, you know, we have this focus on the consistent experience for our end users. And now also this consistency is even built into our engineering teams and engineering processes as well. So we're building from the inside out that consistency.
Yeah.
Great. So let's talk a little more about the Windows Azure Pack and how it actually benefits our end users. So the most common people that I hear this is really focused on is hosters. So tell me a little more about these hosters and these internal service providers, how they can take advantage of WAP.
You know, one of our biggest pushes in the R2 release wave that we did last year was to enhance the personal productivity of the services that hosters can expose to their tenants. And we've taken that very seriously, and we've rolled in about 10 administrative scenarios as well as 8 tenant-specific self-service environment scenarios together, and we use those to factor in all the things that hosters will want to do on a day-to-day basis to maintain their productivity. So, targeted for hosters or for enterprises that want to behave as hosters, you'll find in the R2 wave a consistent set of services that go up and down from the substrate that is Windows Server through System Center to WAP, collectively being used to address that productivity for hoster admins and tenants.
Simon, I'd love to just build on one point. When Nagender refers to enterprises that want to behave like hosters, one of the things that I hear so much from our enterprise customers, especially these enterprise IT departments, is they're trying to help manage the needs of their DevOps, these engineering teams. And right now, a lot of those teams are actually bypassing IT, and they're going out and they're going directly to a third-party hoster to get services because they find they can get services so much quicker than they can from their IT department. What this self-service experience with Windows Azure Pack and System Center allow an IT department to do is actually to provide on-demand provisioning for their customers so they get that same cloud experience, that quickness, that agility that they would get from an outside provider. They now can get that same agility from their IT department, and that's what it really helps. It's about bringing that experience inside the enterprise.
Very nice. Now, I've also heard from some customers. In fact, I did a trip to visit one of our government customers last year. Yep. Can't tell you which one or they'd kill me. But their key thing was, hey, we have a fully isolated environment. We like Azure. We want to kind of have the same experience. Can the Windows Azure Pack help these people that can't connect to the public internet for, you know, licensing issues, security reasons, governance, that type of thing.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, a lot of our initial engagements are really from customers who have those kind of constraints. For whatever reason, they're not targeting public cloud, but they want the benefits of public cloud. They want the agility of self-service. They want the elasticity. They want the scale. They want the ability to design cloud applications, but do it inside their environment. And how do they get that? The Windows Azure Pack and System Center provide that. But the interesting thing here, a lot of these organizations have some workloads that need to run inside the firewall, but other workloads that they do want to have in the public cloud. So many times, they have developers that are doing both. And that's where the consistency comes in, because now those developers, those customers can have a consistent experience, whether they happen to be working on one of their workloads that's in the public cloud or another workload that's in the secure environment. They can do it in a consistent manner.
Great. Now, I assume a lot of customers will want to start to try this out, but with any new product, they're always worried about the support statement. What exactly is our support statement support lifecycle for the Azure Pack?
That's a great question. Because Windows Azure Pack is free, right? But it really gets most of its value from Windows Server and System Center driving that value up. So as part of the Windows Azure Pack, even as a free download, we've actually aligned our support product lifecycle with System Center. So it comes with a 5+5 support contract. You can actually look it up online. Sorry, I flipped through these screens here. If I flip over here, if you go online, you'll actually find on Microsoft Support a statement of the Windows Azure Pack lifecycle. And it comes with this 5+5 support, so it is fully supported. It is actually getting quarterly updates. So we're actually releasing with the Windows Server and System Center quarterly update, rolling updates. There is an update to the Windows Azure Pack as well. Matter of fact, update one just shipped at the end of January.
Great. Now, tell me a little more about this as a self-service portal. It seems like System Center now is offering several. We have App Controller for infrastructure provisioning. We have the Service Manager portal that can really tie together any other type of request. Where do we position Windows Azure Pack? And if customers are starting to invest in self-service for the future, what's our recommendation for them?
So if you look at the R2 suite of products that we have with Windows Server, System Center, and Windows Azure Pack, the self-service environment in WAP is designed for providing services to your tenants, provisioning those services, setting up all the relationships, et cetera, that you need for both hosters as well as enterprises that behave as hosters. The other self-service environments that we have in System Center are part of our sort of historical way in which we have done infrastructure provisioning, mm-hmm. as well as provide self-service environments for service management and so on. You know, we are very, very serious about the cloud. We are very, very serious about the strategic direction that we are going to head. And as Bradley has pointed out before, WAP version one in that we released as part of the R2 wave is step one in that direction. As we strategically align to this and then continue our journey through the Cloud OS network, you will see from System Center as well a rolling of services that belong in a cloud-optimized manner in the strategic place where they belong. So we will see more and more services go into the Windows Azure Pack sort of environment as we go forward.
Great.
And we'll do things that will make it palatable for people that use the existing suite of self-service environments that they can take and customize and continue to do all the productive work that they do today.
Very nice. Now, I'm sure that people will have some interest in this. So what resources do we have today where people can go learn more how to set it up, use it, deploy it?
You bet. There's a ton of information online. So I'd like to point our customers or into our users to some of those resources. One is Cura. Cura.microsoft.com actually has a dedicated section of curated links on Windows Azure Pack. I highly encourage you to go there. One of the links you'll find there is on the Building Clouds series. And on the Building Cloud series, you'll find a bunch of links about Windows Azure Pack and how it relates, both from configuration, deployments, scenarios you can enable, common questions, as well as troubleshooting guidance. And of course, everything is also on TechNet. You can go to TechNet, get detailed information. And if you want to learn more, I would encourage you to go to the Windows Azure Pack landing page where you can explore the capabilities, try it and download it, and again, get it for free provided you have System Center in-house, or go get System Center and download this and give it a kick.
Excellent. Well, if you guys have any more questions or comments about Windows Azure Pack, please just post your comments at the bottom of this page. We'll go through them and we will get your questions answered. Well, with that, thank you both for joining me. Thanks for talking about the Windows Azure Pack, sharing the experience with customers, and hopefully this is going to get more people to start deploying it, start using it, and taking advantage of these great new self-service capabilities.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Well, I hope that kind of gave you a good introduction to the Windows Azure Pack, as well as some useful resources to get started. Well, with that, that is the end of the show. We'll see you guys again next week. And please post comments for us down at the bottom of this page. Comment on the show, comment on Windows Azure Pack. Ask us questions. We want to get your feedback so that we can really enhance this experience for you.
Yeah, and of course, if you, you know, there's certain things you'd like to see inside of Microsoft, hit us up. Let us know, you know, who you'd like us to talk to or what technologies you want us to dive into. So you could send us an email, edge@microsoft.com. You could hit us up on Twitter, @TNEdge. Or, of course, we have the Facebook page.
We'll see you next week. Thanks.